All right. Hey, everybody. It's Scoots, and welcome to our ongoing episodically modular and a bit serial, but you could listen to it in any order story. Otter Things, that's O-T-T-E-R, capital O-T-T-E-R, space, things, T-H-I-N-G-S. It's a touch of satire and parody, a couple of your favorite things, or a couple of my favorite things. I know that for sure. Based on a historical archive that I recovered out on the transverse plane where, I used to hang out a lot. And so that's really all the setup I need to do. Someone else is going to catch you up because this is an audio thing. And so they'll be catching you up on all the details. You could listen to this kind of in any order. Because you're going to find out more as I turn this over to Emma Otter. Hey, it's Emma again. I'm recording. Is this recording? Okay, it's recording. Hey, it's me. And I don't know where you are or where you're listening, but I just want you to know that I'm sitting here in a chair with a microphone. And I'm in the present moment for me. Present moment, I'm SAFE. So I just wanted you to know that before I tell my story, that all is well. And you could think about that as I kind of tell you the journey my friends and I have been on and my community has been on. You can know that all is well and all will be well as you get comfortable too. And I want to fill you in. I also have I'm trying to upgrade a little bit of the production of the show. So I have a famous or most famous resident here. And they're going to come in. They're going to do it now because they can only do it. Then I'll catch you up on everything. Probably, my brother Tefe thinks he's the hunkiest otter in the world. But everyone knows, everyone around here knows the hunkiest otter is the otter that's coming in just to say a few lines because he's so generous. Mr. Antonio Banderas, the otter. Thank you, Emma. The ladies, the gentlemen, the boys, the girls, the friends beyond the binary. Otters, muskrats, and all the creatures of the swamp. It's time for a tale that all will be well, even when you experience otter things. Swishy, swishy, swish. Thank you, Antonio. You already jumped. Antonio's got a meeting, to get to. So where were we? Well, last left off with my friends and I. That was one part of the story, is my friends and I. My best friends, in case they're listening, they know, if they think there's a pecking order of best friends, they know where they stand. And it's not necessarily the order I say the names, but my friends Vaughn and LJ and I, we're in my basement where we play our game, Big Bunnies and Bards, Bards and Big Bunnies. And we'd just been looking for our friend Willow, who, according to the adults, we had double dared to go beyond the swamp where we live, to the unknown, regions. But we were more thinking, or other adult thoughts were that Emma had gone to strike out on her own as projecting my friend Willow. It's trying to get into a little method. I got too far method. But my friend Willow, that she struck out on her own, started her own career, and we'll hear more about that tonight. But that was another thought. But my friends and I, we got the sense that maybe Willow, went off and, we started to believe a little bit about the Big Bunny and Bards and, or the goose chases, the gooses that lead kids on wild goose chases until they're tired and muddy. And so we wanted to find our friend Willow, and we were looking for her out on the edge of the swamp when we saw this being, this person, who was very tough to describe. They were, it felt like they were a kid right around our age. But what, who were they? What were they? Because they had a bill, but they looked a bit like a beaver. That's why we thought it was Emma. I mean, Willow. Oh, boy. You know, this is only my second episode of like what I think one day will be called a podcast radio show. But so a beaver with a duck's bill and webbed feet. I'd never seen anything like it before in my time. But currently, we took her home. We wrapped her up because they at the time seemed to be cold. And they were sitting in my basement with Vaughn and LJ, and we were having a pretty strong discussion about this. Shouldn't we go back and start looking for Willow again? The goose chases, the big bunnies, the place beyond the swamp. You know, what ifs? And I said, what about this poor being here? They're cold. And the last thing the being had said to us was, I speak words. As we were talking, but they hadn't said anything since. They were just watching us, kind of a little bit not easy, especially with Vaughn and LJ. LJ was very concerned. Said, of course, Willow's waiting for us to come get her. And trying to build consensus, especially with Vaughn, that we need adults. We should just go upstairs and tell your mom or your dad about what's going on. And I said, hold on, let's get some more details. And we said, where are you from? No answer. Are you from the tunnel? Are you from the place beyond the swamp? What is she? Why? Then Vaughn was, of course, interested more in the web. What's it like having webbed feet? Can you pick up this pencil? What's your build? Like, can you do you walk like a duck? You know, thoughts that are less direct. Anyway, I got to get back. So there's a lot of questions for our poor friend there. And then Vaughn even brought up, what if you're from the bottom of the river? Another mythos of childhood, the things that live in the bottom of the swamp and the river. Or even from river bottom, LJ said. And went back, and I said, okay, quiet. I'll come up with a plan. You know, I don't want to tell my mom now because we'd already gone out without permission to look for Willow. And then Vaughn again said about this comic book, about animals and other beings and science and experimentation. Grand, you know, for the good of all, Vaughn said. Of course, that's for the good of all. Secret projects. Then it went in a tangent about outer space. Are you from outer space or the moon? Is that why you have a bill and fur and webbed feet? Is the inside of the moon a liquid cheese? And I said, you're too loud. You're making this poor billed creature nervous. We're supposed to help. And I said, it's okay. Everybody calm down. We're scaring the beaver duck. So it's okay. So I have a plan. I was coming up with a plan while we were talking. And here's the plan. We'll all go home and go to bed. I'm going to wrap this beaver duck up warm and help it dry off. And then tomorrow morning, I'll have the beaver duck and go in my backyard and make a bunch of noise, like knock over the trash cans. And my mom's so nice. She'll go out and say, oh, you're not going to, please don't eat our trash. You know, like the creatures on all four legs. Maybe this is a four, not a two. Are you just learning to walk on 2 feet? And then the duck-billed creature said, I walk, I talk. And we said, we looked at one another. Okay, whoa. And it was a little bit odd. It wasn't our first odder thing, but this was an odd thing. And I said, go home. I said, I'll help LJ said, do you got a name? Who are you? And then there was a behind, I couldn't tell if it was an ear or a gill or something. I said, what the heck? There was a little tag that said B-E. And we said, is your B in B? And then Vaughn said, what about Bill? Billy, is your name Billy? And the duck beaver looked at us and nodded. And it was very distinctive nodding of the bill. And said, yes, I'm Billy. We said, okay, Billy, okay, everything's going to be okay. And I said, don't worry, my mom will know what to do. So they went home and I helped Billy and we made a blanket for it. And Billy got comfortable and nested in a thing of blankets. I said, it's going to be okay, Billy. And then I went upstairs and I said, I'll see you in the morning. Good night. And Billy said, good night. I had shared my name, of course. I'm Emma. Good night, Emma. Good night, Billy. And they said, I'll leave a night, please leave a nightlight on. That was another thing. It's like, okay, don't worry, I'll leave a nightlight on. It's a new place, of course. And then even the radio. So I said, okay, we'll put the radio on. And Billy seemed to like the hit station. So we put it on. I think it was a Z89. And then I went to bed. Now, the next day, I'm going to catch you up on a couple other things, because Willow lives with her mom, Frances, and her sister, Dari. And, of course, they were really wondering where Willow was, because the most sensible thing, was that Willow moved away and wanted to start her career early, or Willow got taken on a goose chase by the Gooses. Or they just didn't know, and that's not easy. When it's unknown, it's not easy. And Dari knew that Frances, it was breakfast, and Dari said, Mom, you got to eat breakfast. I know there's some unknowns, but today we'll get some clarity. We'll find out, Bull's looking into it, we'll look into it. And there's this phone call that come in and said, don't worry, we're going to figure this out. Everything, all will be well, Mom. And Mom looked at Dari in a way that said, even though moms are authority figures, they're not always authority figures, or sometimes we just imagine them to be. And they held hands and they held each other and comforted each other. And they ate delicious breakfast cereal. And Dari said, Mom, just breathe and eat your breakfast and hold my hand. We'll find Willow and we'll all get to the bottom of this together. But right as Dari said that, there's a knock at the door and it was Bull. Now, Bull is our resource officer in charge of resources and, keeping everything going in our town. Not like a mayor, more of a community, you say, hey, you're not following the rules. Let's do this, or these are the rules, or this is so that kind of thing. And Bull kind of was playing, hey, how's it going, you two? Hey, eating some puffs? I heard you said that Willow called or something. And Francis said, yeah, Willow called. And then Bull looked at the phone. It wasn't working. I said, well, that's interesting. Your phone's not working. It sure wasn't the storm or something. And Francis said, I know what my daughter sounds like, even in static from a storm. And Bull said, well, the thing is that when the geese go on the geese chases, they bring these kids on the geese chases for fun. This is just a river bottom style action. Sometimes they like to call the house and even give the parents a hard time, create a sense of uncertainty. They're tricksters. They're not trickster gods. They're just birds from Canada geese, Bull said. though a couple of other geese run with them. And Francis said it wasn't a Canada geese or any other kind of geese on the phone, Bull. It was my daughter, Willow. And Bull said, okay, well, just trust me. I'm trying to work. And then Willow said, and then Francis said, you need to trust me too, Bull. And Bull said, okay. So Willow called and there was a lot of static. That's what we know, right? For sure. And Francis said, yes. And then Bull said, well, what about Lenny? That was Willow and Dari's father. He would roll like rolling stone, so no moss gathered on him. Another musician, though not very accomplished musician, who had moved to Riverbottom years ago. Not in any big bands, though, like you hear about from Riverbottom. More of just a busker. And Francis said, I haven't heard from Lenny in a while. And then Dari said, Lenny said, you know, J to the A to the R to the K. And Bull said, well, maybe I should just check in with Lenny in case Willow went to, is there any chance Willow went to visit Lenny? And of course, Francis said, no. And Bull said, okay, well, trust, like, hear me out. What if Willow was just contemplating starting her career early? Not a good choice, but whatever. You know, we know that happens. It's happened with other kids in the community. They want, you know, they get this idea of quick, you know, that they're going to have a big career, and they move to Riverbottom or Hensontown or somewhere else to start their career. And maybe, you know, I mean, the only successful person was Antonio Banderas, and that wasn't even music. But yeah, so maybe to make it a little bit easier, or maybe Willow got there and find it, well, I don't like this. Let me just check in with Lenny. Let's just check in with Lenny and just see if that's a possibility. And then Bull said, things are going to be okay, Francis. We're going to figure this out together. Okay, we'll figure this out. And then Bull headed out, but I know that Dari headed out right after Bull. And said, Bull, wait up. Bull said, what's up, Dari? You should be inside helping your mother. She's, you know, this isn't easy on her. Dari said, don't worry, I've got things under control too. I'm soothing my mom and comforting her. And Dari said, didn't you used to work in Riverbottom on their resource team in the big city? You know, didn't you used to, were you starting your own family and all that? And Bull said, that was a long time ago, Dari. What's your point? And Dari said, didn't it not go so great, like your reputation in Riverbottom? Wouldn't it be easier for me to just go see Lenny? I don't think you and Lenny get along either. And Bull said, no, you stay here with your mom. I'll go talk to Lenny. And Dari said, well, but Lenny would be more open to talking to me than you. So just a thought, you know, that like you don't have to do everything, Bull. Bull, are you okay? You look really. Are you okay? I know you don't sing and all that, and you're staring off at the distance silently, only half listening to me, probably thinking about your past in Riverbottom, huh, Bull? Bull said, Bull was staring off with that stare you've seen right off camera. The jaw, even of a frog, going loose. Said, yeah, I got bad luck. Bad luck in Riverbottom. Bad luck followed me here, probably. I don't know what it is about me. And probably was born under bad. Anyway, Dari, you don't understand. You wouldn't understand. You're just a kid. But forget about talking to Lenny. I'll handle it later today or tomorrow. I'm on top of it. I just got to get a couple other geese in a row. I'm pretty sure it's not. I'm pretty sure it's the geese. But we'll figure it out. And Bull took off. Now, meanwhile, while they were having breakfast and discussing things, my family was having breakfast. My mom, my dad, the youngest in my family. And then my brother, Tefe, the otter who learned to love himself so much that the shiniest otter in town. And I was trying to eat fast, I mean, really, so I could bring part of my breakfast down to Billy. But Mom kind of was like, you know, geez, I don't know, with Willow, like, come home right after school. My dad was, you know, reading the latest news about, you know, stuff unrelated to our day-to-day lives. And Tefe was mostly eating, you know, like whatever, this super breakfast, superfoods, and preening himself. And it was getting on my nerves because I could see something in his eye. And then he cleared his throat and said, "Hey, Mom, I got an idea. You know, it can't be easy on Dari and Francis and everything. I was thinking about helping out, like with the flyers. So, you know, they got to figure out this goose chase thing." And my mom said, "Tefe, I think you should just stay out of it." And I said, "Handing out flyers doesn't really sound like your style, Tefe. What does that even mean, handing out flyers?" And Tefe said, "Well, you know, flyers cost money. And I was thinking I could do a fundraiser after school. And we could raise money to pay for them to get a bunch of flyers." You know, but yeah, you're right, Mom. It's probably not the best idea. They'll probably, I mean, I know, you know, Willow's family is not as easy for them as it is for us. I'm grateful for everything you and Dad provide for us, Mom and Dad. So maybe I'll just forget the whole idea and forget the flyers and make it, yeah, you're right. And Tefe knew what to say to my mom because she said, "Well, Tefe, just come home right after the fundraiser. You're so caring and so loving." And I said, "What kind of, it sounds loving, Tefe, like, because you love to party, right? Is this some sort, is it going to be a fundraiser party?" And Tefe said, "Well, actually, Emma, that's a great question. I wouldn't call it a party, but you can't have a fundraiser without fun. Just good, clean fun, though, of course. Good, clean, comforting fun in this case. So less fun and more comfort." And I said, "Another brilliant Tefe idea, huh, Mom? I wonder how this..." And Mom said, "Emma, just finish your breakfast and get ready to go to school. And then come home after school, please." And I said, "I don't even know how Tefe defines clean and responsible either." And Mom said, "Emma?" And then I went downstairs to pretend to get ready for school in the basement. And I went down and checked in with Billy, who was, you know, obviously in a new place and not totally comfortable, but also very hungry. So really enjoying the breakfast I provided, which are known as Dino Puffs, the puff. That's just, you know, but anyway, so really enjoying that breakfast. And I said, "Listen, Billy, I'm going to pretend to go to school. And what you got to do is after you eat, just go out in the backyard and knock over the garbage cans, okay? And then my mom will hear it. You got to do it now before she leaves for work. But she'll hear you knock over the garbage cans. And she'll come out and she'll help you. And she'll find out where you're, you know, where you're supposed to be, where your mom and dad are, or whoever you live with. She'll help you find your way home. So that's the plan. And my mom's the best. So she'll totally help you." And Billy just kind of stared at me. It was just on the side of Billy's bill, a Dino Puff marshmallow. And a little bit of dripping, like, and Billy said, first with a beak full of no. And I said, "I'm sorry, did you say no?" And then Billy waved their bill back and forth, no. And I said, "No." And Billy said, "No, Mom." And I said, "You don't have a mom?" And Billy said, "No," pointed to me. "No, your mom. No plan. No garbage. No mom." And I said, "Why?" And she said, She made a kind of a universal symbol for looking around and scouting the horizon. She said, Dr. Max is going to be looking for me. And Dr. Max can't be trusted. And I said, how do you, and I said, what do you mean? And Billy said, Dr. Max will take me back. And I said, back where? And Billy said, to the other side of the swamp. And I said, okay, that's like, okay, so, all right, well, I'll figure out another plan then. You could stay here, okay? Just don't do anything. And I'll skip school. I'll come back. I'll pretend I'm going to go to school and come back. You just stay hiding out here, okay? And Billy said, okay. So I pretended to head out of school. Now, meanwhile, at school, Vaughn and LJ had gone to school. School had started. And at first, they were wondering where I was. But then they said, oh, of course, Emma probably stayed home to enact the plan. And LJ said, good. Like, and then that, like, duck bill thing will be back where they belong, and we could start to find Willow again, our friend Willow, because Emma seems to have forgotten about Willow. And Vaughn had a couple laughs at the duck bill and the webbed feet, and did a walk around, and said, well, yeah, it's good, only adults can help with this kind of stuff. And LJ said, yeah, only adults can help with this kind of stuff. And they kind of went back and forth. Now, meanwhile, also at school, my brother Tefe got to school. And Dari was there. And believe it or not, Dari was actually, Dari has a friend named Babs. And Babs comes to, like, Babs was the kind of person that had a lot of resources. And Babs, Dari was already talking to Babs about getting flyers made, because Babs' family has all that kind of stuff. I don't even know how you make a flyer. And Babs said, no problem. And then Dari said, do you think we could use your car too? And Babs said, no, I got, you know, remember when I snuck out that like 2 weeks ago? I don't have access to my car anymore. I'm grounded, car free, no driving. And Dari said, well, I just need your car for today. I just need to borrow it. Can we sneak it out? And Mab said, no, they took the keys and everything. I'd give it to you for sure. I'm not worried about that. I know you want to figure out stuff with your sister. And Tefe rolled up and said, hey, Babs, hey, Dari, I heard you talking about cars and flyers. I was thinking about having a little fundraiser after school today. Fundraiser, maybe take your mind off of stuff. In a field, a little field party fundraiser. We could charge all the other kids, to come to it, and bring in some money to pay for those flyers or whatever else you might need, Dari. And it'd be a good time. We could really have a good time, at least for a little while. And Dari looked at Tefe and narrowed her eyes. And Babs said, field parties are lame, Tefe, just so you know. That's like kids' stuff. And Dari said, yeah, I'm thinking about my sister. I don't want to be standing around in a bunch of mud with you and your friends, Tefe, drinking bog water. And Babs made a bog water face, like bog water's not good, though older kids say it is. And Tefe said, come on, Babs, you tell her, we could still figure out some way to have fun. We could do something. And Babs said, no thanks, Tefe. And but then Dari was looking the whole time and listening, and the wheels were turning in Dari's head, and said, Dari said, you know what, Tefe, Babs, you know what might be fun? Cutting school. You know, I've had it, you know, I'm maybe taking a road trip. I don't know. That's what Babs and I were talking about before we got here, Tefe. Now, that would be fun. The only issue is we don't have a car because Babs lost her keys. Her parents took them away. And Tefe said, interesting, interesting, huh? Like a road trip, the three of us, for fun. And Dari said, yeah, I got to make one, like, I got a totally cool place we could check out with a great view and everything. Tefe said, really? Babs is like, I don't know. No, Babs wasn't playing. She said, I don't know. I'd rather not the three of us hang out. Me, you, and Tefe. No, thank you. And Dari said, come on, Babs. We'll have fun. We'll both keep Tefe in line and keep his nonsense to a minimum. And Tefe said, okay. I got an idea. Meet me in front of school or down, you know, not in front of school, someplace on the other side of the sports field at lunch. I'll have a car. We'll do a little road trip and cut school. And they said, okay. And then back in town, in our beautiful downtown area, Frances was heading into where she works at the Fines and Dines. It's our everything store. You know, it's got a diner, it's got groceries, and it's got most of the stuff you would need. And she had worked there a long time. Not for a lot of glory. And her boss was there, and he said, Francis, what are you doing here? It's not your day to work. And Francis said, I need a phone. And her boss said, okay, that'll be, you know, what, 2222. And Babs said, I'm waiting for Willow to call me. And he said, oh, okay, just I'll put it on your account. And then Francis said, you know what, I also need 2 weeks pay. 2 weeks pay. And Francis said, you got to be kidding me. I worked here like a long, long time, even on the holidays. And I got two kids at home. I expect to be paid a 2 weeks advance right now. And her boss said, okay. And then she said, and some sugared cereal, double Dino Puffs. They said, okay, Francis, take care. And Francis headed home. And I had headed home too, and I was showing Billy my room and a lot of the toys I play with, my physics lab, my kind of punch card computing device I'd been working on for a long time. And then, of course, this is what you don't know. So this isn't the first thing I recorded, really. My friends and I, we used to like to do radio theater in Method. So we had a lot of, not just a recording set up in the basement and in my room, but we also had outfits. So we would play kind of a dress-up recording thing. You know, some things were in the world of Bards and Big Bunnies, and then some things were in like a more noir world. And we had other outfits. We started dressing up, pretending we were different characters, and we were kind of having fun. And then, I don't know. Even Billy said, "What is it?" And I said, "This is what friends. We're friends. Friends play dress up, and this is called play." And I realized this was new to her. She'd never tried it or never done it before. And I was pretending to be different things. And even for a second, Billy kind of pretended to be like a Dr. Max, just for a second. And then we heard my front door. And then we heard the stairs. And I said, but it's my mom. You got to pretend you're like, just don't move. Sit down in my miniature rocking chair and don't move. Pretend you're a full-size doll. And then my door swung open because Tefe had heard me. And Tefe said, what are you doing home? And I said, what are you doing home? And Tefe said, what is that doll? Is that a bill on a beaver? Ugh, dressed up. What is that dressed up as? And I said, "That's yeah. Anyway, what are you doing home from school, Taffy?" And Taffy said, "What are you doing home from school?" And I said, "Don't feel good, you know, with Willow and stuff." And Taffy said, "Oh yeah, well, I mean, that makes sense. I'm trying to help Dari with some stuff." And I'm like, "Sure you are." And he said, "No, really, where are the keys to Uncle Emmett's truck?" And I said, "I have no idea." And he said, "I know you know. You know everything. Come on, Emma. I know you know where Uncle Emmett's keys are." And I said, I don't know. And Taffy said, "I'll tell you what, like, if you tell me where Uncle Emmett's keys are, I'll forget that you and whoever that is pretending to be a duck-billed doll, I don't know if that's Vaughn or LJ dressed up, that you're not, neither one of you is at school or sick. I'll forget to tell Mom all about this." And I said, "They're in the bowl with all the marbles at the bottom." And he said, "Okay, I'll see you later then." And he headed out, and I breathed a sigh of relief, and so did Billy. But Billy kind of looked after. He said, "Don't." My brother said, "Don't worry. That's just that's not his natural otter oils. Those are store bought otter oils that make him shine like that." Now, Francis had gotten home, and Francis had set up the new phone and was like, "I'm going to wait here for my daughter." Now, one thing I did forget to mention, that's kind of an important part, is, you know, we're all musical. We all play instruments. But Francis, and she never quite found the way to do this, and I think probably Lenny had something to do with this. Francis was a big maker of wind chimes, but tuned wind chimes. You could almost, the wind could play as an instrument, or even someone could play as an instrument. And so Francis was also passing the time tuning a wind chime, or tuning the parts of it. I don't know much about wind chime creation. A wind chime that was like a steel drum, and kind of playing those sounds and waiting for the phone to ring. Now, meanwhile, Taffy had gotten my Uncle Emmett's truck and gone back to school at lunchtime, and Dari and Babs were waiting. And they hopped in the car, and Taffy said, "Where to?" And Dari said, "River Bottom." And Taffy said, "What are you, Dari said, "Trust me, I got a big surprise. Wait, like I said, beautiful view. Just trust me, I'll tell you how to get there." And Taffy said, "Okay, sounds cool." And they hit the road. And while they were on the road, school had let out, and Vaughn and LJ went right to my house and headed over and knocked on the door, and I let them in, and they said, "So what happened to your mom?" And then they saw in the background, they saw Billy. And they said, what is that still doing here?" And I said, "Let's go to my room to talk in case my parents come home." And LJ said, "We're here. Why didn't you tell your mom that was the plan?" And Vaughn said, "Yeah, what if, no offense, Billy, but what if Billy's an alien or something?" And making all these like sound effects from all these like sci-fi shows that Vaughn watches too much of. And LJ said, "What about Willow? We're supposed to be looking for Willow, not dealing with this duck-billed beaver with web, you know. This might even be, hatch out of an egg or something?" And I said, "LJ, please calm down and be more appropriate and kind." And LJ said, "Appropriate and kind again. Our mission is Willow. Willow could be with we're supposed to be big bunnies and bards, and Willow is our friend. And I'm going to go tell your parents. I'm going to go call my parents. I'm going to tell an adult to deal with this." And as LJ went to leave the room, this sound started to come from deep inside of Billy's bill, and it sort of sounded like an engine starting, but quickly we realized that because we listened to a lot of music, we play a lot of music, that it was a song, it being almost like hummed through or vibrating through the bill. And Vaughn was the first person to realize, they said, that's the song right here, right now, that we always just sing on the radio by Jesus and Jones. And I said, wait. And then right as I said that, I couldn't speak anymore. And LJ's hand had frozen as he was reaching for the doorknob. And we were all kind of stuck right here, right now, as Billy kind of hummed the song. And then we kind of started to hum along with it. But we quickly realized that it was a power. And Billy said, no adults. And then looked at me and I said, there's some sort of Dr. Max beyond the swamp. That lab stuff might be right, Vaughn. And then Vaughn and LJ were staring at me. And the echoes of the song were still in our head. He said, she's got some sort of musical powers. And Vaughn said, just like in the comic books, superpowers. And how'd you know that was one of our favorite songs? We used to sing that right here, right now. There's no other place we'd rather be. Now, while we were doing that, Dari, Babs, and Teffy had gotten to River Bottom. And they pulled up to Lenny's house, Teffy said, where's the view, Babs? And Teffy said, where's the view, Dari? And Dari said, look at this. This is a city, an industrial section of a city. It's not like anything we see. And Teffy said, this seems dull. And Dari said, you two keep each other company. I'm going to hop out. I got to knock on this door. And Teffy said, why? And she said, well, this is where my dad lives. I got to ask him something. You two stay put. And Dari knocked on the door and eventually dealt with Lenny's friend and Lenny. Lenny was a bit like, oh, well, why don't you let adults take care of this? What about Bull? He's still in town. No, I haven't heard from Willow. Wish Francis was, better. And then that was all Dari needed to hear. And said, forget it. I got to go. And Lenny said, don't you want to hang? This is a big city. We could go out. We could busk together. And Dari said, I got to figure out Willow. And Dari headed out down the steps. And as she was at the last step away from Lenny's house, she realized that the windows of Uncle Emmett's truck had kind of fogged up a little bit. And she suspected something was strange. And then she reached for the passenger door and she opened it and she heard a gasp and she saw that there wasn't anybody in the driver's seat and that Lenny and Babs were in the back. KISSING. And it's no secret that Dari thought that Teffy, that Dari was into Teffy a little bit, and she thought Teffy was into her. And Babs was always making a deal about how Teffy wasn't cool and a jerk and not her cup of tea. So Dari was not happy. And they said, what? And then Dari said, Just let me drive back. You two stay in the bank and keep each other company. But Dari started to get more and more irritated. And eventually took the long way home where she also had this view, this side road that had a view of the place beyond the swamp, of the road where none of our cars go. Like I said, where the strange vehicles go. And she parked there, and they had kind of fallen asleep snuggling, which she was not happy about either. Now, back in my house, we had stopped singing, and we're still trying to process what this all meant. I said, don't worry, we'll work this all out. And Billy started looking around and saw a picture and was staring at a picture of Willow and us and held it and then said, what's this? And we said, those are friends. We're friends. You know what a friend is? And Billy said, no. And I said, remember when we played, friends play together. Friends help each other. Willow's our friend. We can't find her. And then it was LJ that said, you know, someone, my friends, I'd do anything for them. Everything I do for my friends. And then Billy got a dreamy look in Billy's eye and said, everything I do it for you, and started humming that song, which was a big hit on the radio at the time, too. But kind of more humming it absentmindedly as she walked down to the basement and we followed her. And then she got out our board for our Big Bunny and Bards game, and she turned it upside down. And then she put the figure that that Willow always played on the downside of the board and said, friend. And we said, yeah, you know, that's Willow. You know where Willow is? And then she took a Big Bunny and put it on the board next to her. And then we were all like, it was mostly silent except for her humming of everything I do for you, which kind of suffused us with some sort of magical energy, it felt like. Now, meanwhile, Frances was at home waiting for the phone to ring, and it finally did ring, and she dropped the wind chime she was working on, and they got caught around her ankle, and it was ringing, and she was trying to get to the phone. And then there was kind of nothing there but static, and she said, Willow, is that you, Willow, Willow? Where are you, Willow? And she heard the squawks of Canada geese or something. That's what she thought, because that was the idea playing it in her head. And she wondered if it was Willow. And then again, the phone shorted out. And then all the music devices in the house started to play, starting with the wind chime, the steel drum wind chime wrapped around her ankles somehow. But all the music and Dari and Willow's room started to play louder and louder, and she went in there, and she said, like, Willow, what's going on? All with some sort of, again, suffused with magical power. And playing songs, you know, moms didn't want her kids listening to, like, I Wanna Give You a Kiss by this band, Bad Colors, and other songs like that. And she said, Willow, you're not supposed to listen to this song. Is that you? And then she started to sense, and she looked out the window. She saw big bunny ears, giant bunny ears outside the window. And at first she rushed outside looking for a bunny, and then she kind of felt the earth kind of tremble like a big bunny was bouncing. Then she ran to her car and said, what if a big bunny is bouncing? That's no good. She got in her car and was ready to drive away. But then she thought about Willow and the music. And then the wind chimes all started to play. All the wind chimes she had made for her family and that she was making on commission or spec for other people started playing. And she sat there and listened and said, Willow, Willow, is that you? And it was all playing in different things. I want to kiss you up. She thought, well, this is an odder thing right now. And then Dari was getting more and more, a little bit frustrated and was like, you know what I'm going to do is park this car and throw the keys in the swamp and then go home. To you know, kind of give Tefe some payback for and Babs for making out. And so she pulled off, knocked out, and she said, I'm going to throw him right into the tunnel. No way even Tefe will go in there for the keys, and then Tefe will get in trouble. And so she pulled off and parked the car and took the keys out, and Tefe woke up. Babs didn't quite wake up yet. And Dari slammed the door and stormed off, and Tefe followed after her. Said, wait a second, Dari, where are you going? And Dari got ready to throw the keys into the swamp tunnel. And Tefe said, wait, I'm really sorry. Like, it was just like me and Babs were just sitting there, and we had not, like, I don't know, like, and I know I should make an excuse, like, we're not dating, or we haven't kissed, maybe we could kiss right now. And then Dari got ready to throw the keys, and Tefe said, no, like, really, I apologize. It was very, I should have been more sensitive to everything that's going on. And I should have said, Babs, it's not a good time for you to try to kiss me right now. And then he says, Babs, or then Dari almost threw the keys. And he said, no, or say, Babs, what do you think about kissing while we pass the time? So I'm sorry, Dari, it was wrong. I'm sorry it affected you. I can make it, if I can make it right somehow, I will. But I was definitely wrong. And Dari lowered a hand and tossed the keys back to Tefe. He said, just drop me off. I don't care, whatever. I'm probably just stressed about my sister. And Tefe said, I understand, and I'm wrong for not knowing that. And I'll try to help. We'll get those flyers printed and I'll help, really. And Dari said, thanks, Tefe. And Tefe said, it can't be easy. Dari said, no. And then they got back to the car, and Babs' door was open, and Babs wasn't there anymore. And he said, Babs, you around? No, and Babs didn't respond. And Tefe said, well, that's weird. And then Dari said, well, Babs doesn't live that far from here. Maybe she walked home. And Tefe said, maybe. And they said, weird, it's weird, there's some goose feathers here. He goes, well, slimy goose feathers. And she said, maybe a goose flew over and left a goose present. And Tefe said, probably, let me bring you home. And and she said, well, at least now I don't got to worry about if you drop me off or Babs off first. So, yeah, just bring me home, and then I'm going to get in bed and go to sleep, and then we'll figure out everything tomorrow. Tefe said, that sounds like an idea. And then Dari went home, and I kind of got Billy back in Billy's tent, and we all went home, and we all got in bed. And we said, well, we'll just deal with everything tomorrow. Let's just get a good night's sleep, a good night's sleep.